Okay, Mike, I'm about to start. Is that, are we getting the sound? Is it okay? All right, thanks. Thanks, everybody. So today we've been in Genesis. We've come on to the talks on what are known as the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Mike, over two Sundays, dealt with Abraham. And Mike finished roughly at Genesis 25. So I'm just going on to Isaac. And I'll just deal with part of his life. I won't deal with the end of his life, where his children, where Jacob and Esau were born. David is going to deal with that in due course. So I'll just recap one thing that Mike dealt with in his talk, and that's about when Isaac met Rebekah, and that's in Genesis 24. So, and Rebekah turned out to be eventually his wife. So, I just want, as a bit of a background introduction to Isaac, that's what I wanted to start with. Mike had already had actually dealt with this, but I just want to recap. So, now, Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev. So, this town, and we look at this in a second, is in the Negev, which is a desert in the south of Israel, and it's beyond Beersheba, and that's where Isaac was. And he went out to the field one evening to meditate. It was great. He was praying. It wasn't just he was going out to tend the flocks. He was going out to meditate. And there he was. And he looked up. And he saw camels approaching. And Rebekah, she was on one of the camels. You know, and a long old trip from where she came from with Abraham's servant. And it would have been quite a long trip. Over maybe weeks, months probably. And she looked up and she saw Isaac. And she got down from her camel and she asked the servant, "Who is this man in the field coming to meet us?" You know, she was kind of interested in him straight away. You know, she says, "Who's this guy?" You know? And the servant said, "He's my master." So at this stage, she'd long camel ride. Probably her mascara was all running and, you know, messy. I don't know. But she took her veil and she covered herself. You know, she said, I maybe it was a modesty thing. So, okay, I'm learning something new every day. So anyway, this is what happened. She took her veil and covered herself. Oh, yeah, all right. I am learning something every day. You know, so anyway, so this is what happened. And then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, to introduce her to the mother-in-law. No. Was she? All right, fine. Yeah, all right. Okay, and he married... I'm learning everything here today. So he brought... Now, I focus on different things. Different people, when they read texts, they focus on something. And I focused on... he married Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And I thought that was great. He loved her. She became his wife, and he loved her. And he was comforted after his mother's death. Yeah. Sarah was about 125 when she died. And I think Isaac was around 40 when he married. Yeah, so that worked out right. Yeah, she was dead. But I focus on the fact that she became his wife and he loved her. And that was great. Now, so. And then we go into, this was Isaac, Genesis 24. We then go to Genesis 26. And I've said here that the title is the covenant promise is reconfirmed. It's actually reconfirmed to Isaac. And it's the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, this, and I didn't put it in, I should have put in Genesis 26, and it said, do not go down to Egypt. His father, Abraham, had gone down to Egypt, and it had been a bit of a mistake, but the Lord said to Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and will bless you. So there is a promise of land, and that's where they should live and be, and they should live where the Lord put them, and get. Because he's saying, for to you, the Lord is now talking to Isaac. He's reconfirming what he had said to Abram. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands. He's confirming what he had said. And will confirm the oath or covenant I swore to your father, Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And in that promise, given first to Abraham and reconfirmed through Isaac, it's God's decision to save the world, to do something to save the world. And it's given through a promise which started with Abraham, is confirmed through Isaac, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commandments, my decrees, and my instructions. So, and on the basis that the Lord said, do not go down to Egypt, live in the land where I tell you, stay in this land for a while, in this, shall we say, particular land for a while, and I will be with you. But stay in here for a while. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And that's what I've taken out of that, that on the basis of the Lord's instruction to Isaac, Isaac was to stay in Gerar for a while. Now, where's Gerar? And this is the city of Gerar. Well, Gerar is here. He had come from Beer Laharai. That's where he had met. He was in the field and he had met Rebecca there. And he would have come up through Beersheba, where Abraham was. Because Abraham lived to be 175. He met Sarah when he was 40, Isaac did. So I think Abraham was still alive. So it was in this area that Abraham seemed to have settled for a while. And he came up to Gerar. Now, this map to the right is just another, if people can see it, is just a sort of a close-up of that area. And that's southwest Israel. And in fact, it's the land of that area at that time. And we're talking, and we're being very rough about it now, we're talking about 1900 BC, if we say that Abraham himself was, say, started around 2000 BC, this is around 1900 BC, and this land here in the southwest of we say, modern-day Israel, was known as the land of the Philistines. And Gerar was a city of the Philistines. So was Gaza, so was Ashkelon, and so was Ashdod. As we see, if you read further on the Bible, all these cities are mentioned, and they're the land of the Philistines. And so the Philistines had come from, and I'm not exactly sure either, some part of the Mediterranean, like Crete or the Greek islands. Some people say North Africa. But the Philistines weren't natives to that land. They had settled in this area in southwest Israel, and perhaps they controlled the trade routes that went down into Egypt, and would have taken taxes from all the merchants who were traveling or whatever. But that's the land that they were in. But it seems to me that God, the Lord, wanted Isaac to stay in Gerar which was a town of the Philistines for a while. That's what I've read into these verses. Now there was famine. This was the first verse in Genesis 26, which I had left out. But you see, there was famine in the land, in addition to the previous famine that had happened in Abram's time when he went out to Egypt. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. So there were different. There was a king of the Philistines in Gaza and in Ashdod and Ashkelon, but there was also a king of the Philistines in Gerar. And that was Abimelech. And that was, I think, the same Abimelech, or else it was Abimelech's son, who was Abimelech senior, who Abraham dealt with when Abraham, in Genesis 21, when Abimelech took Sarah, Isaac's mother, into his house, because Abraham had said Sarah is his sister. So we're his father's behavior. Now, what I come to in a second is that that was the Abimelech of Genesis 21, who Abraham, Abimelech in Genesis 21 saw Sarah, who was about 90 at this stage, and said, "Oh, I want her," and he took her into his household. And Mike had dealt with this a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. But Abimelech, the Lord appeared to Abimelech, saying, "Don't have anything to do with Sarah. She's Abraham's wife." Now, this happened in Genesis 21. And so the Lord appeared in Genesis 21. The Lord appeared to a king of the Philistines and said, "Have nothing to do with Sarah, who's in your house. She's actually Abraham's wife." Because Abraham said, "This is your Sarah is my sister." He hadn't owned up to the fact that Sarah was his wife, because he thought that he'd be killed and Abimelech would take Sarah as his wife. So he said, "This is my sister," to get off scot-free himself. He said, "My wife is my sister." So this same Abimelech, I think, or else it's Abimelech's son who's also called Abimelech, but he has, and I believe it's the same, and we'll come to that in a minute, because he had a commander of his forces called Phicol, who was also mentioned in Genesis 21 or 2. So, and at that time, recapping on what Mike had said, when this thing had happened to Abraham, and the Lord appeared to Abimelech and said, "Sarah is Abraham's wife, not his sister," Abimelech came to Abraham and made a treaty with him, the Treaty of Beersheba. So Abimelech came down from Gerar and went to Beersheba in Genesis 21 or 2 and said, "The Lord is with you. I know you're blessed by the Lord. You know, I won't harm you if you won't harm me." And that was the basis of the treaty. We won't harm each other. Now, that happened before before Sarah had Isaac. So Sarah was whatever, in her 90s or whatever. Or Abraham was anyway. So then Isaac was born. And things at that time, there was no written, what I'm looking at now here in Genesis, that wasn't written at the time. That happens hundreds of years subsequently that Genesis is written down. So we don't believe there was a contemporary written record of events as they happened and unfolded. What there was the oral tradition of stories. And that oral tradition meant that stories of what had happened from Noah, the flood, everything got passed down from generation to generation. And accurately passed down. And then, eventually, the written record, with God's revelation, and we come to that at another time, got written into Genesis. The whole, which spans hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, say, and it got written down. But what they were writing down was an oral record with God's inspiration and revelation about creation, because there was nobody around to write down creation the first 6 days before. So, now, the point I'm coming to is this. Abraham, it would have been well known in the household that Isaac grew up in, that there was a treaty between Abimelech and Abraham. And the treaty, the content of the treaty was, we won't harm each other. So Isaac would have known that there was a covenant between Abimelech and his clan, his tribe. You know, let's not harm each other. Let's not do anything that'll mess each other's lives up. But what happened? Well, we'll see what happened. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, asked Isaac about his wife, Rebecca, what did he say? She's my sister. Yeah. You see? Because he was afraid to say, she's my wife. He thought, the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she's beautiful. So she was good looking. And again he said, that's my sister, she's not my wife. You know, and in doing so, even though Isaac was told to stay in Gerar, the city of the Philistines, by the Lord, he was told to stay there for a while, and he was staying there because there was a famine. He had been down in Berahla, down in the Negev, south of Beersheba. Now he was up there because it was a town and a city where there'd be food, because there was traders passing through. But he should have been aware, and he must have been aware, that there was a treaty, that they wouldn't harm each other. And he could have gone with to Abimelech and said, look, my father and yourselves made a treaty, none of us will harm each other, so this lady is my wife, she's beautiful, and don't kill me because of her, because we have a treaty. You know, he could have said that, but he didn't. And this created a mess. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she is really your wife. So the penny dropped with Abimelech. Why did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said, I thought I might lose my life on account of her. You know, he hadn't stood up for Papa's right. Luckily, it twigged with Abimelech what was going on. And Abimelech, who the Lord appeared to in Genesis 21 in relation to Abraham, he does the right thing. And he's a Philistine. Abimelech said, what is this you've done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, anyone who harms this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He was doing the right thing. So, what we've learned is, you know, extraordinary, the Lord appeared to the Philistines. The Philistines were in the land. They appear to have been in this land at least, say, 2000 BC-ish, at least 1900. We know that subsequently they were there in King David's time, which was 1000 BC. They came from abroad, from some cities of the Mediterranean, maybe Crete or whatever, and they'd settled there. And they obviously posed a big problem later on to David, and all through we'll see in the Bible, if you read through it, all these fights they had and battles with the Philistines. But, you know, the Lord spoke to the Philistines, and the Lord appeared. They worshipped a different god. They probably worshipped Dagon. But, you know, they did the right thing. And in this case, Abraham, his father, and Isaac had done the wrong thing and had compromised themselves and tried to compromise Abimelech's behavior. But Abimelech, you know, seemed to be okay. So, but then the Philistines do a terrible thing. Isaac planted crops in that land. So after this had occurred, straight after this occurred, Isaac, obviously Isaac was feeling bad, like, well, he had done a mess by saying Rebecca was his sister. He planted crops in that land, and they grew, obviously, He'd come up there because there was a famine down south of Beersheba in Beer-Rah-Lah. The same year reaped a hundredfold in the harvest because the Lord blessed him. He became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. So that was great. So he had actually brought blessing into that place, into Gerar, by growing crops, and they grew. And so he was no longer, you know, he was able to make his own way and feed himself, as it were. He had so many flocks and herds, that would have been, you know, they were nomadic, I think. Abram, his father, lived in a tent. He would have lived in a tent and they had to go around from place to place to find grass or whatever vegetation for their flocks. But he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. But see, he was up with them now in Gerar. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up filling them with earth. Now, this was terrible. You're living in a parched land, and what brings life is water. And many cities, like Jericho, were built around an oasis where there was water. And water was life in an arid and near desert environment. And what did they do? The Philistines throw earth into the wells. Now, a horrible thing to do, you know, to destroy that which gives life, which comes from the earth. Horrible. Then Abimelech said, and I think, as Abimelech before had made a treaty with Abraham, Abimelech sort of analyzed the situation. Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from the city of Gerar. He still encamped around somewhere down, maybe south, in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. He reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. So he gave them names. And that's good. He reopened the wells. There was obviously water there. But the direction in which they should go was one of separation, I think. But it was up to, he hadn't twigged this, but Abimelech had. Move away from us, you've become too powerful for us. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar, who maybe were from a Philistine background, I think, maybe, quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. Now, the commodity was in the ground, buried, and they found it. They had to dig and expose this which was there, which is the provision of God for everyone, you know. But the herders, this jealousy crept in, and they said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. So what did he do? Well, rather than have a dispute, he dug another well. But they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitna. So he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. That's great. Now just go back to the map again. And Rehoboth is there. It's, okay, Gerar was there, we said. Rehoboth is there, it's down near Beersheba. Coming back again, closer to where Abraham had lived around Beersheba, Rehoboth is there. The well of Ezek is there, and the well of Sitna is there. So he's moving away from the Philistines all this time, which is probably good. And what happens then? This is Genesis 26. the Lord appeared to Isaac. From there, he went up to Beersheba, where Abram had hung out. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your servants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So it was great. That's the second recorded time that that the Lord appeared to Isaac. He had first appeared back near in Gerar and confirmed his overall covenant to Isaac, the covenant of Abraham. And he appears to him now again down in Beersheba. And what does Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. In Beersheba. No. And then, even though he had left Gerar and was back in Beersheba, I guess Abimelech now, I was thinking, you know, this has happened to me twice. It happened with this guy's father, Abraham. It's happened again with Isaac. You know, I better do something about it. He had made a treaty before of Beersheba in Genesis 21 with Abraham. And now he comes, Abimelech came to him from Gerar. Just a tiny little detail, that when I downloaded this on the internet, the Abimelech, the way it's spelled here, is different from the way you read in the NIV. It's L-E-C-H, but that's a detail, but it's the same person. It's just what I downloaded from the internet, the version, I guess. So Abimelech had come from Gerar with Azoth, his personal advisor, and Phicol, his commander of the forces. Now, Phicol has been mentioned back in Genesis 21, with the Treaty of Beersheba with Abraham. So I'm guessing this is the same Abimelech. That's my basis for it anyway. So Isaac asked him, why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? Whereas Abimelech was trying to avoid trouble, and Isaac took it as kind of an insult that he was being hostile. I think Abimelech was being realistic, but he still wanted to set the record right, have a proper working relationship between his group, the Philistines, and the tribe of Isaac. He wanted to set it right. And he came to him, Abimelech came all the way from Gerar down to Beersheba. And it looks like it's more Isaac's nose is out of joint than Abimelech's, but anyway. They answered, we saw clearly, i.e. Abimelech said, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you, so we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we will not harm you, but always treat you well, and send you away peacefully, and now you are blessed by the Lord. So Abimelech, as he had recognized the voice of the Lord in Genesis 21, he could see that the Lord, that God was with Isaac. And that he was being blessed. And Abimelech decided, we won't harm you if you don't harm us. And we want to sign a treaty with you on that basis. And that's, you know, from his point of view, that was fair enough. And Isaac made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. They made the treaty. They signed up. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. And in a sense, that's, from a human perspective, that's good. But it was Abimelech was doing the running in this. It was Abimelech's rational analysis said, look, I better sort out, make a treaty. We better sign up. We better sign another Croke Park too with the unions, you know, to get them on board. you know, we have to set the agenda. We have to bring these guys into the tent, you know. I don't know. But anyway, he did it. He did it. Yeah, but afterwards, I noted when with Moses and the law as given in Mount Sinai, you know, the Lord didn't want the nation of Israel at that stage, subsequent hundreds of years afterwards, making treaties with people. The Lord was going to provide for his people. They didn't need treaties made with local kings or anything, you know. But that came subsequently. That was clear subsequently. But at this time, it was they made their own. And look, insofar as it, the scripture, insofar as it pertains to you, live peacefully with all men. That's in the New Testament, St. Paul says, insofar as it rests with you, live at peace with all men. So, in a sense, there was a good outcome. They went away peacefully. And more water now. I'm talking about water. That day, then, after the treaty, that day Isaac's servants came and told them about the well they had dug. They said, we found water. And he called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. That's great. So that's more or less the end of Genesis 26 and Beersheba. All these towns are there today. Beersheba, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod. It's fantastic. You know, that things that we're reading about that were written, shall we say, are pertain to an era that was 4,000 years ago. Places are still around, you know. Great. The last few verses in deal with Esau. So I leave that out because David's going to deal with Jacob and Esau. So that's more or less all I wanted to say about Isaac, because the rest is with the story with Jacob. So in conclusion, God confirms his covenant with Isaac. But Isaac displays mixed behavior. He displays obedience as well as poor judgment. Obedience, he stays in Gerar for a while as he was instructed to do, but he does the wrong thing with naming his wife as his sister, you know. So, and then my own bit of a conclusion, you know, as you begin to read the Bible and you see the story unfolding. And this is what I, you know, it's going to be a long and difficult, but a very revealing journey. You know, things are revealed to me out of this book every time you look at it. And as you try and follow the story and understand the story and understand where it was set, and I, and people educated me there at the start, and things that I saw that, or they saw that I hadn't seen, you know, but it's a very revealing journey. It's long and difficult for Isaac and his descendants, for everyone, you know. And that's the way God chose to outwork this story. He didn't just wave a magic wand and everything was right. He did it in a difficult way through people from generation to generation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, eventually down to Moses, and all the way through David, you know, so prophets, you know, so. And only God really can solve it for them and for us. You know, that's what I feel, you know. You know, it wasn't solved here at the end of Isaac. You know, it takes a long thing. And with us, it's only God can solve it for them and for us. And that's the conclusion I'm coming to. That's it. Thanks.